Kino Kazoo together. I'm Eddie.
I'm Noah, and today, technically, on a technical, if you go like see it, it's gonna be like we are doing a podcast about Batman Forever.
Yeah. We're talking suits. We're talking adaptation.
Yeah, we're talking about like because it is Batman Forever, but here we're actually talking about like because it's very interesting. I'm just like giving a bit of background. We didn't live in a time where angry nerds were going around saying, they weren't Batman. Warner Brothers weren't Batman. You know, like that. You know, we didn't live in a time like that.
We do.
Well, we don't.
We really do, bro. But okay.
We weren't alive at the time of the discourse of Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
We're talking about what it takes to go from panel to screen and, you know, what are the worst and what are our favorite versions of that? Personally, Batman Forever. Sorry. Should we try that again?
Yeah, we'll cut that out and edit.
Batman Forever. It's not great.
Oh no, that even sounds worse. I have to delete that as well. He doesn't enjoy Batman Forever, I don't think. You don't enjoy it. You're a comic book guy. You're a comic guy, aren't you?
Aren't you?
You know the different eras of comic history.
Yeah, sure. Silver Age, Golden Age, Bronze Age.
So when does the first one is, I want to say, is the 1930s to the 1940s.
What are we talking about, Batman?
Comics as a whole.
Yeah, you had like...
Golden Ages,
Detective
1930s.
Comics was the first proper one.
Yeah, Dick Tracy doesn't count, but Batman. Like, say, late 30s to 40s.
Batman pulls up in like 39.
38?
But he's not like... he's not like Batman today. He's just like a detective in a freaky-ass costume.
And I want to say... Silver Age is the 50s into the 60s.
Yeah, and then...
So...
Then you kind of have, like, 80s to 90s.
80s was kind of that resurgence of the, like... Because the thing with the Silver Age... Again, like, I'm just going off on what
Silver Age was crazy. Silver Age was wacky.
Yes.
In a comic, you'd have, like, Batman revealing himself to have been a past Robin and then Martian Manhunter saving the president in one issue.
Exactly. So the Silver Age is so fascinating because it's, like... When you think of Batman or you think of like any superhero, you think of like there's a single interpretation of them, you know?
Not really. Well,
I know a lot of people, you ask average like who's Batman? Oh, he's gritty. He's like serious, you know?
Yeah.
And then like you look at I'm saying Silver Age here because this is goes towards my argument. The Silver Age comics are goofy. Like
they
are really silly.
There's still this, I think. It's important to think about when a character becomes understood. And this is sort of the same in long-term movie stuff. I know there was the Rainbow Batman.
That one aged great.
But the point being is Batman as a character wasn't really very well defined until kind of like the 90s. And that's when... comic books realize like, oh, we're allowed to do stuff that isn't, you know, like zoinks.
Well, I think
crash bang.
Zoinks is crazy.
Like they were allowed to do, you know, like these much more real storylines. Yeah. Like you'd have Batman fighting drug dealers, or you know. Like,
I'm thinking that starts with what's it? The Killing Joke.
That's the most famous version of that, but it started. But the kind of moment you see that the most was.
It's 1998, The Killing Joke.
The late 60s, people realized we could do that. They do a Spider-Man story actually called The Death of Gwen Stacy, which is really famous because it was kind of the first time in comics that a main integral character who the audience liked gets killed off.
Really?
For Batman, it was probably The Killing Joke. There might have been a couple before where it's slightly more, but if you don't know the plot of that storyline... Mm. Joker, like, kills a lot of people.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Go read it.
And that was
great.
The first time that anybody had actually seen. And the funny thing is, like, and comic book fans love that. They loved the fact that for the first time in a long time, our, like, superheroes have been taken seriously, you know?
Yeah.
And it took, I'm going to say it took until, my opinion, took until X-Men to get to that point where movies caught up. with that we can tell serious stories, unless you want to go Batman Begins, or even, I don't want to go Sam Raimi Spider-Man, because...
Nah. It's not. What's the timeline of superhero movies, do you know?
Okay, so they start off as serials in like the 40s.
Sure, it doesn't entirely count.
Doesn't really count, you know?
Then there's the 70s, like...
Then in the 70s, you had them do Superman.
Peak.
Superman. That makes a bunch of money.
Christopher Reeve.
And then they kind of... they fire Richard Donner, big mistake. And then they make Superman 2. You know, which it's not as good, but it's at the very least coherent. Then you have Superman 3 and Superman 4, which completely like don't really take the Superman seriously at all. Okay, and that kind of ends Superman's career as a movie star until like Superman Returns in like 2006. But then you have Batman come along in 1989. And then, like, that comes along, and that's a really big success. And you think, oh, that's a big success. So what comes next? More superhero movies. Like, when Iron Man came out, and, like...
That's, like, 2000...
Yeah, when Iron Man came out, 2008, MCU, then a bunch of other superhero movies started coming out. They don't really do that. Then you get... Hollywood is interesting. They learn the wrong lessons by going, like... What people want to see... They don't want to see superhero movies. They want to see... adaptations of 1930s detectives. So you get like the Dick Tracy movie and The Spirit.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So
wait, pause.
Yeah.
Batman 89.
Yeah.
Tim Burton. Yeah. We've covered it.
Yeah. I know we actually haven't.
We did the second one.
Yeah.
Kind of weird we did that.
Yeah. I don't even know why.
But I feel like that is a hallmark in serious superhero movies.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we look back at it now and...
It's still campy.
It is a little silly.
It's kind of representative of...
We can take these things.
A certain era of Batman comics.
Because at that time when it came out, people were like, oh my God, this is actually like serious. Again, compared to what we have now, not really.
Yeah, but we're in an era of like... Or we're just coming out of an era.
We are coming out. I don't think we are in that era of serious.
Where every single superhero's movie needs to be grey tone. Like, yes. Snyderverse, I'm sorry, I don't like his movies.
I don't.
It looks like... It genuinely looks like
a turd. You're not in the minority here. Like,
it's brown and grey. Like,
That came after The Dark Knight, and everybody thought that, okay, this is what you need to do.
But that's because The Dark Knight isn't really a superhero movie.
It's not. It's really not.
It's like a spy movie.
It's more
movie.
Of a detective movie than anything else.
Yeah, a spy movie costume.
Yeah, that's what people get wrong. And so, like, Batman 89 comes out, and then, so, like, you've got, and superhero movies are in this really weird position in the 90s. You've got that Shaq...
Steel.
I'm just thinking of the... So first you've got like the psychosexuality of Batman Returns.
Steel.
And then you got like Steel.
Steel, by the way, if you search up a picture, you'll see Shaq in this stupid like half helmet with sideburns. Steel has two well-known looks in the comics. One, no helmet, metal costume. And two, a full metal. Why is he wearing a, like...
Exactly.
Skull cap?
So... It's superhero movies back then were, like, a lot different. And I'm just trying to think of the top of my head. Like, the only other one I can actually say, technically, is The Mask. Technically.
Yeah, but that's weird, because the comics of The Mask are, like...
Oh, yeah, they're
decently
nothing...
Decently messed up.
They're nothing like it, so that's what I'm saying. It's kind of hard. So, you've got, like, the psychosexual Batman Returns and Steel off the top of my head that I can think of right now. Dick Tracy.
And then what? When did... Kind of. Was there no 90s... Well, there was like Spider-Man MTV and stuff.
Yeah, so Spider-Man comes out in 2002. And then what's happening between 1990 after... So Tim Burton gets fired. We know that, you know? Because what the hell was Batman Returns? What was that? I mean, I love it, but what the hell? And then, so he gets fired. And like, you know what? We're Warner Brothers. We like money.
Yeah.
You know, we like money. How can we make more money? You know? And it's like...
I see where this is going.
Oh, we can sell toys. Okay, but that didn't really work with Batman Returns, because as we saw, there was this nerdy little kid who was on the panel saying, this movie was too adult for me. And it shouldn't
be marked. If you're a kid, who the hell wants, like, Danny DeVito as, like... a mottled version of himself exactly. as a toy, bro.
It is this weird. We've been through it. I said I've loved it. I think you were kind of like iffy on it, but you have the most rational reaction to it. Is what the hell is this?
It's fine, but it's like it's what happens when you read The Long Halloween, and you're Tim Burton, and you're like, hey, look, they draw people with freaky ass teeth. Let's make them real. Like
it's this very, and for me, it's I like it because it's just so like.
It's fine.
It's like I have never seen a superhero movie like it.
I'm not saying it's bad.
It's good. If you say it's bad, I understand. But Warner Brothers is like we need to make something a bit more marketable. Bring in Schumacher.
Okay.
Schumacher had a pretty good.
We want to preface all the hate that is coming.
Yes.
With Schumacher's not bad.
Schumacher.
He's made great movies.
What's that one?
A Time to Kill. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's amazing. It's like McConaughey before he became a massive star. We don't hate Schumacher.
I know,
In fact, we love Schumacher. But...
Well, I wouldn't go as that.
But his Batman stuff was...
It was a thing, and it's so interesting. It's so interesting. You know A Time to Kill? That was made between Batman Forever and Robin.
How, bro?
How?
Because, okay, we got to start with it. The costume...
He did The Lost Boys as well.
The costume...
Yeah.
The costume of the Batman films, he's got nipples.
Okay.
Why? People ask why. He says, I sculpted them off a Greek statue. But why has he got nipples?
I think for me, when you see stuff like that,
it's so weird.
For me, like Joel Schumacher was openly like... Oh.
You can say it, bro.
I don't even know anymore. Like, I like, is this even like? I don't want to be destroyed by the woke.
He was openly gay.
Yeah, okay? He was. He.
And I don't think that's why he like made Batman.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to like. Obviously, he's not around to actually like. You can't actually ask him, but like.
I imagine there's an interview somewhere. We're gonna make some probably pretty bad takes. If you're interested in this, I would go listen to the man himself and not just
us. Yeah, there's definitely interviews, but with
because
him...
we don't know what
But with him, this is why I talked about the whole Silver Age thing.
Because this is Silver Age incarnate.
This is one of the most...
How many questions?
Until next time, Batman, kind of like things ever. Like, it is, like, as The Dark Knight is... you know comics better than me. What is, for example, The Dark Knight, what is... the closest comic to like The Dark Knight.
I think the important thing to keep in mind with a lot of superhero movies is that a lot of them are adapted with what was coming out at the time, right? You look at The Dark Knight and the Batman comics at the time was like a lot darker, grittier. You have Batman versus like the cartel or Batman versus the mob or something like that.
Mm.
Or you'd have like Superman, like at the time of the kind of Henry Cavill stuff, you had this amazing comic called Superman Smashes the Klan, where he just destroys the Ku Klux Klan. Mm. It's set in the 50s, so it is technically Silver Age, and it doesn't exactly translate, but you have Superman doing more serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thing about Schumacher is his movie doesn't match at all the Batman comics at the time. So
that's
there's nothing
the thing.
To back it up.
When we see, and you've got to keep in mind, the people complaining about the movies at the time, who were they? I feel the comic, it's different nowadays, like, the fans are different. It's more,
but it's also a byproduct of how comics work now. Now you'll have, take Spider-Man for example. He has like four runs right now. So if you're a Spider-Man fan,
you've got a lot.
You can reading four, or you could be reading one of four, and they're all different. They all have different writers, different artists. They're all going for something different. Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2000s and the 90s, you have two, maybe three. But they're all stylistically very similar.
Yes.
And they all intertwine. So in the 90s, you had Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, and like the Fantastic Spider-Man or something. I can't remember the name. And they all intertwine and follow the same story. It's basically just Marvel putting out triple the amount of content.
Yeah.
It gets a headache to follow.
Back then, it was just like one kind of
superhero.
And back then, you got to remember, the majority of that community was...
teenagers.
White... straight, like, you know, young people. So when there's an interpretation of somebody who's not of the same kind of like...
genre of people.
Yes. Genre of people is one way of going about it. And Like, you're obviously not going to enjoy. And you got to remember, Batman and Robin, Batman Forever didn't get the same kind of response to Batman and Robin.
I think it's because Batman Forever is like, okay, that's...
And you watch Batman and Forever and you're like, why doesn't it get the same response? It is as silly, as over the top, as...
Because it's the first one. When you watch Batman and Robin, it's like, okay, we didn't have
they've gone,
once, man.
Yeah, no, yeah, basically. And there's been an interview where Joel Schumacher said, like, sorry. No, just like, sorry, that's the intention wasn't like that, because it was so, it was like the backlash was so hard that there's a reason why the Dark Knight trilogy is as gritty as it is.
I don't think it's just that. I think Nolan, no matter what, was going to make a movie like that. And Schumacher, no matter what, was going to make a movie like this, right? But I think when you are making a movie about a character that is beloved, and when you're looking at doing a movie of the big three, right? You've got Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, like those guys. They are mythological at this point, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about what if someone looked at us today and didn't know about Christianity and stuff, they might think, or any religion of any type, they might think, due to the amount of media, that they were gods.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's how much love we have for these characters.
That's
everyone sees them differently, right?
Yeah.
The way you have it in a dialogue reading a comic, because there's no voice.
Mm-hmm.
So who you hear saying the comics, how you imagine
exactly.
in between panels.
Like for Spider-Man, you could hear Tobey Maguire. Yeah.
Josh Keaton.
Yeah, exactly. You could hear anybody.
It's all intensely personal. So when you're, as a director, putting that out there, not everyone is going to see it the same way. And a guy like Schumacher, who's, you know, very different to the normal comics fan of the time.
Yeah.
And very different, looking at very different comics to the source material. You know, he's not like 15 making this movie. Yeah. He's like, what, 30?
Oh, 40.
So
maybe even into his 50s.
Yeah, he would have read movies comics a long,
and
long time
and
ago.
And yeah, one of the things that he said, you know, during like the press, and he was just like, you know, why does the, again, at the time, why do the Burton movies have to be so gritty? Why do they have to be so serious? Why can't we have a bit of like enjoyment in them? And this movie reads, going watching it, it's a fascinating time capsule, because again, for example, we've got the Batman. The Batman came out,
I love the Batman.
4 years ago?
But I love it because it does what every single superhero movie does, the gritty, dark colors. But it's not because like, oh, for Batman, it makes sense. It's because it isn't a Batman movie. It's doing all of the 1920s noir movies where it rains all the time and, you know, everyone's like grim. And then it's amping it up to the level of the Batman stories of today, like absolute Batman and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's making it a Batman movie last, because first and foremost, it's a good movie and then it's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Because a curse a lot of these movies have, and Schumacher struggles with, is it's a superhero movie.
No. With Schumacher, it's... Today, with Marvel movies, for example... Aside from Taika Waititi,
oh God.
There is no sense of this is a director's vision.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing a director's vision here. It is a company. It is Marvel's vision.
No, but okay? What about Ryan Coogler with Black Panther?
Those two, I completely forgot about that.
But when when you say that,
yeah,
Taika Waititi and Ryan Coogler are the only directors who have done a Marvel movie other than Jon Favreau, who even so, not to the same extent, have then gone and done movies that aren't superior and been successful. Everyone else in the Marvel system, you look at the Russo brothers.
They are for hire.
Like, they're like, oh my God, look, they're such good directors of Marvel movies. And then they go do The Electric State and it's awful. Yeah.
They are for hire directors. First and foremost, you get them to do something that's already there, and then you direct
basically
it.
Basically just slap
with Schumacher, even if you don't like his films, there is a clear, like, personality.
Schumacherness.
There is a Schumacherness to them that you just don't get in that many... Schumacher. you don't get in that many, superhero films, even nowadays, you know? Superhero movies are really the hardest ones to have, like, your directorial, like, vision, because first and foremost, you need to, like, appeal to the fans, not to yourself.
Yeah, I think that's where, like, a lot of people will hate on the Amazing Spider-Man movies, and I think I've made it quite clear that I'm a fan, but that's where, like, you watch that movie having seen 500 Days of Summer, and it makes sense that that's the one. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is out the window, because that wasn't even directed by him. That was basically directed by the studio. When you watch that and you see the way he makes the characters interact, that's him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You watch Matt Reeves doing the Batman, and that's a movie before it's a superhero movie. It makes sense that that would be a directed film.
And even in this film, like, again, it's a fascinating, like, time capsule, because we have the Batman and you have that version of the Riddler. And it's very serious, very...
But, I mean, it's like the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah, exactly. Here, you got Jim Carrey.
Oh, God.
Doing God knows what. I normally like doing my reference. I like doing my little, like, references and my little, like, impressions, but I don't think I can actually do.
But I mean, I see where that performance comes from. That Riddler.
Again, it's come from a Silver Age. It's the Silver Age
interpretation.
Yeah, and
it's not a bad thing.
The Two-Face here, nothing like the one in The Dark Knight. Nothing like
him. But I wouldn't say The Dark Knight does a lot of things very well, but it's not a superhero movie.
Yeah, no, it's a spy movie. But I'm saying, like, it's such a different interpretation.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing that
the fact is that a lot of the time, the best versions of characters will be in animated shows, because you can do things in a show where you can kind of get away with that level of, like, Schumacher ridiculousness, and it doesn't seem stupid. Like, you look at, like, Batman the Animated Series, right? There's a lot of, like, crazy... Like, there's an episode where Joker takes over a toy factory and has, like, huge walking toys. If you did that in a real-life movie, it would be like a Schumacher movie,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But when you do it in that...
It's very careful.
You can change it, right?
Yeah.
And so, often, like, that's the best version of Two-Face.
And
that's the best Joker, and that's the best Batman, because that's just...
Yeah.
It's so much easier to do it than on a screen with real people. Because as soon as you do real people... There's a level of relatability behind their performance that loses realism as soon as you start doing it.
With this movie, there is like a Schumacher cut.
Is there?
There is. When we were talking about it, like...
Is it out? You
know. So the Schumacher cut is supposed to be a lot more serious. But Warner Brothers, like, kind of like chopped it down. Because again, he can do serious. It's not like he can't.
Yeah, I mean, time to kill.
But he kind of like chopped it down. Like, and last year... they were supposed to, like, have released it.
And they didn't.
And then there was supposed to be a screening. Then they got a cease and desist order from Warner Brothers. So right now, there is an existence of a Schumacher cut. It's just, like, they won't release it for whatever reason. And if we will ever see such a cut, we'll never know. But,
I'd be interested to see... what that looks like.
Yeah. So this movie got nominated for 2 Academy Awards.
What?
Best Cinematography, lost to Braveheart. Best Sound, lost to Apollo 13. And Best Sound Effects, Editing, lost to Braveheart.
Crazy, it wasn't nominated for anything.
Why wasn't Kiss from a Rose nominated for Best Song? I am... Does it have to be used in the film? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is it not used in the film?
No, it's not used in the film. I know it's used in the credits. Kiss from a Rose, that's a banger. Like, they
I think
people, they should keep putting random songs with movies that have nothing in, like, coherently.
Closing thoughts on this before we play the box office game.
Oh, yes, right, yes.
Is that I don't think it would be fair to judge any director's take on a character without kind of having a consistent criteria that everyone can understand.
Yeah.
Because if you're judging it off, oh, how gritty is Batman? Well, maybe someone doesn't like gritty Batman. And I think...
And you look at comic book history, I'm just saying...
It's so messy.
Comic history, there is so many interpretations of different characters.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm feeling. So when a movie like this, and I feel the world has been kinder to these movies in recent years.
Yeah,
The world has been kinder.
But I watched Superman, and we covered Superman.
Yeah.
And I said there that it returned to...
Yeah.
I think the important thing for superhero movies to do... You know, they can be crappy movies, I guess. But they need to understand what a character is for.
Yeah.
Because in comics... Like, I said Superman smashes the Klan. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's a certain element that superheroes will always be used to tell the stories that people can't. They'll be used to tell, you know, political viewpoints. They'll be used to explain things to kids and, you know, they'll be used to reflect the problems we have. And they always have a core meaning. And I think if you're making a movie without that core meaning present, it's sort of pointless and it's going to suck.
Yeah, exactly. And I just feel like everybody's their own interpretation of the different characters.
But there's always that core...
Yeah, like, there's a core theme to them.
Like, Superman will always be hope.
Spider-Man
will always be responsibility.
Yeah,
like, Batman will always be justice.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, that is what you see. Yeah. Whatever version of that you see, it doesn't matter. Yeah. If a movie doesn't have that central...
Yes. My issues that I just want to say, my issues with Batman Forever doesn't actually come from the fact that, like, oh, it's so silly. No, it comes from a story standpoint doesn't really work, and there's no thematic elements, that I know exist because the Schumacher cut, and there are bits of the Schumacher cut online that you can go find. They do exist. They are out there. One thing. I just want to say this. Funny as hell, Tommy Lee Jones doesn't like Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
And he came up to him on set and said one of the funniest things that anyone has ever said. I cannot sanction your buffoonery. Oh, okay, let's play the box office game. Okay.
What year is this?
995.
All right, 995.
First one, number 10 is a movie where, like, it has a bunch of sequels that don't actually have anything to do with the original film. Doesn't even star the main actors. Is that in a jungle? Like the recent ones are in a jungle?
Oh, Jumanji.
Jumanji, yes. Okay, two.
Didn't know that was 95.
One, and next one. It is a movie that cost a hell of a lot to make and didn't reap very much. Starts Kevin Costner. It's pretty. It's well known for
second actor.
Waterworld.
Oh, you just tell me the title. Waterworld. Sure.
Yeah. No. the next one is based on. I think it's a cartoon. Yes. And it's about this really friendly bloke, and he's like, I've never it's not really my cup of tea personally. Never has been. Casper.
The Ghost.
Yeah. Hey. It never been my cup of tea, actually. No. The next one is a movie by David Fincher.
Oh.
Starring...
95.
Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Seven.
Oh, yeah. The next one... Well, the next one is Batman Forever.
Ernest Hemingway once said, "The world is a good place and it's worth fighting for." I agree with the second part. So hard. Oh my God, I love that.
Okay, the next one. Well, the next one is Batman Forever. So number five is a movie that has such a low res poster on, like, ew. I'll show it to you later. It's a Disney film. Quite a controversial one, because why would you ever adapt something like this into a Disney musical? What are you doing? If I say Colors of the Wind, does that?
Yes, it does. Pocahontas.
Yes.
Why the hell would you do that?
Low res that is.
Diabolical.
Diabolical.
Really?
How dare you?
It's like 8-bit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the next one is, oh, we always have trouble with these. Bond movie.
95.
It's Pierce Golden Bronson. Eye. It's I want to say it's the first Pierce Bronson. Oh yes, oh there we go. You got it. The next one.
Holy Bond,
the next one is a movie starring Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon. And directed by Ron Howard.
Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon. Is that playing the 7 Degrees of Bacon?
And it's like a space movie, but not in space.
Apollo 13?
Yes. The next one is one that we have actually already covered.
I don't think Kevin Bacon was in that.
It's one that we've already covered.
From 95?
Yeah. It's animated. Animated film.
Is it Treasure Planet?
Yeah, what? No. Another Tom Hanks vehicle.
Polar Express.
With Tim Allen. When did we do Polar Express?
With Tim Allen?
Yes.
Oh, Toy Story.
Toy Story, there we go. Jesus. And number one is a movie that, like, yeah, that checks out. 1995, I just want to say it's a weird year because it's like the highest grossing movie only made less than like $370 million. I don't know. It's just that year.
It's crazy to me that Seven was in the top, like...
Yeah, I know. The number one movie is... it's,
I don't know who would see that, like, oh, date night, let's go see Seven.
The number one movie is a third movie in a series.
What's in the box? Have you not seen it?
No.
Oh my god.
The next it is
Oh no, god damn it.
It's the one that has like I don't if I give away the accent. It's one with like
Samuel Jackson. Uh-huh. What? And
third one.
The third Samuel.
This first one's like a Christmas movie kind of. We had a big like debate about it.
Oh, Die Hard 3. The one where he goes in the
with a what?
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yes.
The one where he goes in the street with like the sign.
Yeah, yeah, that's
like,
that, yeah.
What you doing? Crazy,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to check who won the Academy Award.
95.
7.
No, I didn't win anything. Did it? That's such a good movie.
Braveheart.
Oh God. Oh God.
Best director, Braveheart.
Braveheart. I only love the scene where he goes in his very poor Scottish accent. Show him your asses, and they all turn around. Like, that's it. It's so bummed.
Yeah, no. It's 1995 is not. It's not an amazing.
How did that beat out Seven? Sorry.
Wait, was this 95 or the 96 Oscars?
96. Okay. And the what was nominated that year? Because I love it when you just look at a movie that was nominated. That's precious. Babe was never nominated for best picture.
Anything else?
That's precious, isn't it?
Seven in there.
No, Apollo 13.
People just hate David Fincher.
Sense and Sensibility, because if you want to get an Oscar, you do a period movie.
Mm, with Shakespeare now. Connotations.
Now. Or you do a biopic if you want to win an Oscar.
Biopic of a controversial...
Okay, let's...
wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
What are we giving Batman Forever?
I give it 2.5.
Two?
Okay, let's go...
Purely because
let's go 2.5 in respect for just like...
Purely because the back credit card, bro.
That's... Oh, that's the next...
That's the next one.
Oh, okay. Can I just like... If we're going in order, you know what's coming next. Everybody chill.
Okay. That's the worst casting pick for Dr. Freeze, by the way. Like...
Really? I mean, it seems pretty... Honestly, if the 19... Are we still on?
Yeah, do you want to stop?
Yeah.
Yeah.